Hello, this is Julian Gerdam from the English Department of St. Columba's College in Dublin in Ireland. Look at our blog sccenglish.ie for lots more. This is the 14th Passions of Poetry talk, and attempts to deal, in just under 5 minutes, with one of the really important passions of poetry, a central way in which this art form attempts to communicate meaning, the metaphor. I suspect I might need more metaphor talks in future. I read an article in the New York Times recently, the link is on our blog post for today, 22nd November 2010, in which the author Robert Sapolsky examined the question of metaphor from a scientific angle, writing about what he calls a domain of unique human skills. To quote him, "Symbols, metaphors, analogies, parables, figures of speech, we understand them. We understand that a captain wants more than just hands when he orders all of them on deck. We understand that Kafka's metamorphosis isn't really about a cockroach. We grasp that the right piece of cloth can represent a nation and its values, and that setting fire to such a flag is a highly charged act. And we even understand that June isn't literally busting out all over." Sapolsky goes on to explain, let me put it in layman's terms, that the same part of the brain, the insula, that deals with the literal also deals with the metaphorical, and that our understanding of metaphor is therefore instinctive and powerful, buttressed by visceral or gut reactions. Ooh, there's another metaphor. Basically, our brains can't help thinking metaphorically, of associating one thing with another. And Sapolsky uses a metaphor himself when writing that, quote, "Evolution is a tinkerer and not an invention, and has duct-taped metaphors and symbols to whichever pre-existing brain areas provided the closest fit." Okay, so quickly out of science and back to poetry, before I get in trouble with my colleagues over at www.frogblog.ie. Metaphor is when we refer to or understand one thing in terms of another. It's not a simile, the partner with which it's often confused. In metaphor, something is not like something else, it is it. It's not that I run like the wind, it's as I run, I am the wind. The origins of the word go back to ancient Greek, meaning to carry across, to transfer, which itself comes from Latin and also means to carry across. I'm going to show how this is used now in just one metaphor, which is in the middle of Seamus Heaney's sonnet, The Forge. This early-ish poem recalls a blacksmith and his work from Heaney's childhood. What the man did and where he worked were fascinating, a dying craft by the time the poem was written. Heaney describes the old axles and iron hoop rusting outside the forge, and the anvil's short-pitched ring. And on line 8 comes the metaphor I want to highlight today. He writes that the anvil must be somewhere in the centre, which is an altar where he expends himself in shape and music. What associations does this word, this metaphor, altar, trigger in our brains? Of something sacred, something holy. If the anvil is an altar, well then the forge is a church and the blacksmith is a priest. What he does is special. Why? Because it is a craft honed by centuries of expertise, passed on from father to son. Because the blacksmith takes such care, because he makes something lasting, because in some sense for the child this activity is magical and mysterious. And the blacksmith himself is a metaphor for a poet. In two similar early poems, Heaney describes a thatcher who transforms straw with his Midas touch, and a diviner who can sense, quote, "spring water suddenly broadcasting through a green hazel, its secret stations." More metaphors there. You just can't help it. Metaphor is central to poetry, not merely a technical matter. When we engage with it, we are at the heart of what poetry does, firing our imaginations.